Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Prabhupada. So this is Vasudev speaking. Vasudev, not Lord Krishna, but Vasudev, the husband of Devaki. Just to put myself in proper understanding. Vasudev said, O best of the sober, you have nothing to fear from your sister Devaki because of what you have heard from the unseen omen. The cause of death will be her sons. Therefore, I promise that when she gives birth to the sons from whom you fear has arisen, I shall deliver them all unto you, unto your hands. Purport. Kamsa feared Devaki's existence because, after her eighth pregnancy, she will give birth to a son who will kill him. Vasudev, therefore, to assure his brother-in-law, the utmost safety, promised to bring him all the sons. He will not wait for the eighth son, but from the very beginning will deliver to the hands of Kamsa all the sons to which Devaki will give birth. This was the most liberal propositions offered by Vasudev to Kamsa. And a purport. Om Jnana Bhati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Yam Dadati Swapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam Karoti Bachalam, Pangalam Gayate Girim, Yarkripata Mahamvande Shri Guru Dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man like me can speak eloquently. Therefore, I offer today my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Tamala Krishna Goswamini Tinamani. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunavati Paskata Disatarine. And I offer my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas present in this room, outside of this room, in the material world, and also all the Vaishnavas into the spiritual world. Vancha Kalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Pritanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama. Sri Vasudeva Uvacha Nahi Asyaste Bayam Saumya Yadvai Sahasarira Vak Putran Samarpa Yisyesya Yataste Bayam Hutita. Vasudev said, O best of the sober, you have nothing to fear from your sister Devaki because of what you have heard from the unseen omen. The cause of death will be her sons. Therefore, I promise that when she gives birth to the sons from whom you fear as a raisin, I shall deliver them all unto your hands. So here, you have to forgive me because I didn't prepare much on this verse, but knowing the story here, Vasudev is it's been very flattering. It's actually been not sarcastic, but lying in one sense, because he's glorifying his brother-in-law, Kamsa, where actually it's very unglorious act that he's just about to do, to kill his sister. But he's glorifying him by calling him sober. Oh, best of the sober. And not just a sober person, but actually also you are the best. But now, if you really analyze the behavior of Kamsa, is that is not a very sober thing to do. He actually was not sober at all. He was just about to murder a woman, his own member of the family. People, they do these things when they are actually drunk, or when they are under the effect of drugs, or when they are under the effect of madness, envy, or anger, or lust. It's actually ultimately lust that pushes people to do things they don't want to do. And that condition, it's very unsober. But here Vasudeva is calling him, you are a sober person. Glorifying him. Because actually Kamsa was very... he was very educated. He was educated on the Vedic system of life. And when he preached to him, the first attempt, it had effect. And then Kamsa said, yes, I will not kill her. You're right. It's not her I should fear, but her children. Now, in one hand, you could see that Vasudeva is using diplomacy. Diplomacy entails lies, but in a good way. A diplomat, it's a good liar. It's not a bad liar. Just like a diplomat, a representative from a government, maybe the embassy, how do you call it, the ambassador. So very often is called up for a duty to go to speak to the country where he's representing in. And if this country, their enemy, then the ambassador is supposed to be the best of the liar for the government, the best of the diplomats. And they have to lie to make peace for a good cause. So here Vasudeva has been very diplomatic. At the same time, he did all this to protect his own wife. And you can see that even the Vedic system recommends the very first primary duty of a husband is actually to protect his wife. And then the sequence goes on, and his children. It's never to protect his children and then his wife. Isn't it? It's never the other way around. So the wife, the mother, it's actually the primary duty. That's what Lord Ramachandra did. Also, he went through so much a struggle to protect Sita. And you can see great personalities, they follow each other, the path of the Mahajans. They all have a similar behavior. And the Vedic system, you know, the wife is one. System, children, you can produce many. They are just seeds given by God. That's why Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradapita. But the mother, it's one. Children, they cannot produce a mother. A mother can produce children. We are all cause of mothers in this material world. All of us. Even a great celibate sannyasis or saints who are very much staunch, still, they have to glorify their own mother because they come from somewhere. Am I making sense? So the mother, it's one of the seven principles to be protected at all cost. The wife of the king, the cow, Mother Bhumi, the nurse, the original mother, the wife of a Brahman, and who else? Am I missing someone out? The wife of the king, I said. Seven mothers, the cow, and one of them is the original mother. So Vasudeva is actually fulfilling his duty, even at the cost of losing all his children. He doesn't just trade in and say, you know, I'll give you one child for the life of my wife. You could see that he traded all his children, all the eight of them, for the life of his wife. And that's a husband, an ideal husband. No matter what, the ideal husband is supposed to sacrifice his children for his wife. Of course, we don't like to sacrifice any, because children are a part and parcel of the parents. But here Vasudeva is been very truthful. And when he made his promise, at all cost, he wanted to protect his wife at all cost. Cost of lying to him, calling him sober, and the cost of losing all his children. Actually, in the from the instruction, who was a few days ago, I think it was Taruna Prabhu, described the Vedic injunction, says, they suggest, actually they advise that lying to protect one's wife, it's not sinful. Such a lie is not sinful. It's not considered to be sinful. And that was from Sukracharya to Vamanadev, yes, Vamana. Because Sukracharya was trying to protect the reputation of Bali Maharaj. Because Vamanadeva called him a liar. You promised me all this land, the seven steps, three steps. But, you know, you haven't fulfilled the promise of giving me the third step, so therefore you are a liar. So, but what Bali Maharaj did actually was not a liar. To protect one's property from aggressors, to protect oneself from cheating rivals, you know, to lie is okay. Of course, Vamanadev, you know, he cheated this king Bali Maharaj, but it was a transcendental trick. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now, going back to the behavior of Vasudeva. He was true to his words, and he did it. One by one, the children, when they were born, he handed them over to Kamsa, even though Devaki, she didn't like it. She said, it's okay, don't worry, don't give it to him. Let him kill me, but let the children live. This is the mother also from... The mother, she sacrifices her own life for the sake of their children. But the husband sacrificed the children's lives for the sake of his wife. You could see where is the priority here. So, very interesting that one by one, he was determined, was very truthful to his words. He was handing over the children, one by one, to Vasudev. A lot of, even a great personality, they do break principles. They break the promise. All of us, actually, in this material world, when we are born, and we don't surrender to Krishna, when we are born, that means we have broken our promise. Because there is a very interesting exchange at the 7 month. This is actually from the Bhagavatam. I can't remember which canto, Govinda, maybe you. That when Lord Krishna sees that the child in the womb is suffering so much, being eaten by the worms in the belly of the mother, then the pain is so unbearable that the child cannot tolerate, and then he starts to pray. This we have done, all of us. He starts to pray to the Paramatma, please, please give me relief, please give me your shelter, I will give me relief from this pain. I will promise you that when I take birth, I will surrender my life to you. We have all uttered this prayer, believe it or not. You may say, what is he talking about? Maybe because you forgot. We've all forgotten. But that is the prayer of the child in the womb. Every child. But then what happened? When we are born, we forget our promise. Oh, even if we read about it, of course devotees, they are truthful. Because when we become a devotee, we understand, yes, I made this promise and now I'm trying to surrender to Krishna. And so therefore you have proved to be truthful to the promise that you gave to the Paramatma in the womb of your mother. But you could see that many disciples, sometimes they take initiation from the guru. I promise you, I follow the four regulative principles, no meat, no fish, no eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. But then the disciple sometimes fall down, break the principles. It's been untruthful to the guru. Even a great saintly personality, they lie, you know, they break their promise. Sugriva, for example, great devotee, Vanara, great devotee of Lord Ram. He went to Ram and he said, please help me to get back my wife, Tara. Tara was the wife of Sugriva. And Tara was actually enjoyed by his brother, Bali. A very immoral act. You could see the brother of Sugriva, Bali, he took advantage of his young brother. He beat him up and he casted out of the kingdom of Nishkinda. And he was enjoying his wife. So Lord, when Sugriva went to beg for help to Lord Ram and Lakshman, what did he do, Lord Ram? Of course, you come to me for shelter, I will help you to gain your kingdom back. But Lord Ram said, you have to promise me one thing, that once I get your kingdom back, you help me to find my wife, Sita. And Sugriva said, yes, yes, of course, of course. And then there was the 4 months of raining season. Lord Ram said, Lord Ram, before the raining season, he defeated Bali Maharaj. And he killed him. And he gave back his wife to Sugriva. Tara went back to Sugriva. And in the meantime, the Lord, he said, now the raining season is coming. So it's better we don't travel when it's raining. And it's difficult to find Sita in the raining season. So I will go in my hermitage. You go in your kingdom, enjoy your kingdom. But then on the fourth month, you came back to me and help me to find Sita. But then, lo and behold, what happened that Sugriva, he went into his sense of gratification. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And enjoying his wife, enjoying the kingdom, and sleeping and eating, mating, whatever, like the animals they do. And there is no harm for animals to engage in sense gratification because he was a monkey. But being in the mode of ignorance, then after the raining season stopped, he completely forgot about his promise. And there was no sign of Sugriva coming to the aid of Ram. So Lakshman went. Lord Ram called Lakshman, said, go there and tell him to come immediately. So Lakshman went and he found Sugriva completely oblivious of his duty. He didn't even remember what he was supposed to do. So Lakshman, that's when he uttered these famous words, you rascal, animal. You know, there is atonement for any sinful activity in this world, but there is no atonement for one thing, to be ungrateful. And Lakshman was just about to kill Sugriva for breaking his promise to Ram. And Sugriva said, please forgive me, I'm an animal. And I tend to forget. Animals, they don't, you know, when they engaged in sensual pleasures, they forget about their duty and there is no rational in me. But I will come immediately and I will help you. But you could see that Sugriva was a great devotee of Lord Ram, but he also broke his promise. We sometimes are faced with the situations that we have to lie, we have to break our promise, either for money, either for our own reputation. Like, you know, when you take a job as a civic officer with a government or high court judge or MP, you know, they have to swear to be that allegiance or loyalty should be with the queen. And there is a oath, a promise, you know, you have to promise things. And many times you could see on the newspaper these politicians, they sometimes have a fall down or they break their promise or some abuse, child abuse or something. And they try to cover up with the lies. So it's a very common practice for reputation. But here Vasudev, he's not duplicitous. He didn't just utter those words, I promise you my children, but then when he came to it, you know, his own children being born. Can you imagine a father and mother, the very first child, being born and killed immediately? But not just once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times. How many times this saintly person, he had to go through this trauma? So sometimes devotees, they think, I am a saint. But without paying the price, how can you claim yourself a saint? To become a saint, one has to understand the prayers of Queen Kunti. You have to go through fire. You have to go through test. But then when the test comes, oh no, why the Lord is doing this to me? Vasudeva and Devaki, they never blamed the providence, God, for what was happening to them. Kunti, she had her children poisoned. She had her children defamed and taken away everything. They burned the house. They tried to burn them alive, starved. But Queen Kunti, she had no grudge, no hate in her heart. The faith towards Krishna was unshaken. And this is the same mood, the same faith of Vasudeva and Devaki. The test is actually, if you want to know what the test is about, the test, it's a proof to judge you whether or not you are a boy or you are a man. The test separates the boys from men. If you can't pass the test, you are not a man. Or you are not a lady, you are a girl. The test is actually what makes you stronger, brings you close to God. Great realizations, they only grow in the field of suffering. They never grow in the field of laziness, enjoyment, or comfortable life. If you want a comfort in your life, then don't expect to have a great epiphany in terms of spiritual realizations. They will never come. What makes you a man, what makes you strong, is the pain. Just like, you know, if you, like my son, you know, he joined this 3-4 years ago, this Muay Thai. I don't even know how they pronounce it. It's Muay Thai. It's a kind of a martial art thing, you know. And without pain, without working out, you cannot become strong. So he was working in the gym, you know, 4 hours a day. It's a sport. Not because he wanted to win, but he wanted to be fit. But when it comes to the test in the ring, you know, he won. Because all due to his pain, sacrifice. Footballers, you know, if they want to be fit and strong and successful, they have to train. So a spiritualist, if he wants to be a good, staunch devotee, a preacher, good sadhana, you have to actually go through test, go through a good sadhana, good chanting, and on top of it, Krishna will give you test one after another. But the thing with Krishna, he never gives you a test that you cannot pass. He always gives you a test that it's comfortable for you to just about make it, to pass it. He did it with great personalities. And if you see all these great personalities from the Bhagavatam, from the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, they all went through test. Without test, you cannot become strong. There is a say, if you don't become fire, you have to become fire in order to enter into the fire. You know, when you say, this devotee is fired up on Sankirtan, you have to fire yourself, you have to be strong, fire, you have to become fire in order to enter into the fire. What is it? One has to become Brahman in order to enter into the Brahma Jyoti. This is all from the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada, he mentions, one has to become spiritual in order to enter into the spiritual world. So, similarly, one has to become tolerant, devotional, in order to become a devotee. And Vasudeva and Devaki, they had heaps and heaps and heaps of pious activity and devotional service from previous lives. It's not an easy thing to sacrifice your own children, to be imprisoned for doing what? Just for being a parent, because they were faultless. They didn't do anything wrong. There was just a voice in the sky, an omen, like is described here, a voice without a body. Obviously, a stroke fear into Kamsa's heart. And he became afraid of these innocent people, Devaki, who was harmless. But then he understood, because he was not sober, and Vasudeva called him sober, which was a flattering lie, because he couldn't understand that actually the fear was not to be derived from her, but from her children. But he was so paranoid that even on the first child, when Devaki and Vasudeva, they gave the first child to Kamsa, Kamsa immediately said, I must say, you are a true devotee. You are very truthful. You are through your words, you cannot lie, and you are a great personality. You know what? I will not kill this child, because he's the eighth child that I am afraid of, not the first one. But then the troublemaker, who was it? Narada Muni, he came. Because, you know, this was a plan of the providence. These children, they were doomed, destined to die. They had to become purified. They represent the six sins: lust, anger, greed, madness, ignorance. And they had to be destroyed in order for Krishna to appear in the womb of Devaki. So Narada Muni came and influenced Kamsa and said, you know, when you count from 1 to 8, how do you know which one is the number 8? Is the first number or the last number? If you count all the way around, then the first one is the number 8. So therefore, you should kill. And Kamsa, being stupid and foolish. Yes, you're right. Let me kill this child. So he went back to the prison and he killed the first child. This is the demoniac mentality. If you're in doubt, whack it out. That's what they say. You know, the doctors, of course we do with a disease. You know, you have a little cancer in the body. And they are doubtful, wipe it out, cut it out. We don't want to take any risk. So that was the mentality of Kamsa. No cleanliness, no truthfulness through his word. He also made a promise. He said, no, I'm not going to kill them. He promised Vasudeva, I'm not going to kill them, only the 8th child I will kill. But then he broke his promise after 5 minutes. Being influenced by Narada. Purdisit pravritim cha navritim cha gyanana vidura asura nasa ucham napicha charo nasatyam teshu vidyate pravritim cha navritim cha gyanana vidura asura. Demoniac people, they do not know what to be done and what not to be done. And nasatyam nasaucham napicha charo. They are not clean because the heart is not clean, the mind is not clean. Napichacharo. Nasatyam teshu vidyate. And because they are not truthful. Nasatyam teshu vidyate. Therefore, they cannot have a darshan of the absolute truth. vidyate. So this is the demoniac personalities, and that was Kamsa. So these are just a few thoughts that they came to me spontaneously. And we will ask if there is any questions on this. Yes, Tarun. How those sins, they enter the saintly womb of Devaki? Good question. They could have found another way to... Right, right. I do not know. I have no idea. I don't want to speculate, but my understanding is that this is it's an analogy for the devotee. If he wants become devotional and invite Krishna in his consciousness and in his heart, then he has to kill, first of all, those enemy of the heart, lust, anger, greed, madness, because the consciousness of a devotee is like the womb where Krishna resides. That's why we say we should live in Krishna consciousness. Consciousness is like the place where the Lord resides. If we want to invite him, then the consciousness has to be free from the occupation. If the territory is occupied by those enemy, lust, anger, greed, madness, ignorance, then the Lord will not come. Because wherever there is a light, there cannot be darkness. Sukla Krishne Gatiyete Jakate Sajvate Mate Ekaya Yatenavritim Manivartari Punaha. There is two ways to live our lives, in light and in darkness. In light means, you know, you have a Krishna in your heart, in your consciousness, and there is a chance that when you die, for such a person who leaves the body in light, he will not come back. Bhagavad Gita says, but those who live in darkness, in other words, imprisoned by those enemy, then for those people, they will return to take birth again. So my understanding is that Devaki represents the consciousness of a devotee. And if this consciousness is not cleared of all the enemies, then there is no space for Krishna. Please correct me if I am wrong. Maharaj, any thoughts? Is that okay?